Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm good on this rainy day.
Well, people may not realize we're here on a Tuesday morning. This is usually when we meet. And so the sermon this past Sunday was on forgiving your enemies.
Yeah, loving your enemies.
And loving your enemies and forgiving your enemies. It's one of the, I was telling you earlier that when I was a young Christian, these passages didn't mean a whole lot to me. I mean, I just thought, yeah, of course, you need to love your enemies. But that was only because I'd never really had an enemy.
Didn't have an enemy, yeah.
And it's a whole different ballgame if you experience what that is. But I'd love for us to talk more deeply about this. This is such a powerful thing, and I feel like it's really the hinge pin in human experience as a disciple is to understand Christ and what he's called us to is to do that. But maybe we should start by defining who is my enemy? What's an enemy that we're being called to love?
Who's my enemy? We know who my neighbor is, anybody in need, but who's my enemy?
That I'm called to love.
That I'm called to love. Luke's gospel, the parallel account to the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6, kind of restates this very passage that we were looking at. And I like it for a lot of reasons because it fleshes out more of the enemy side, what enemies do, and the practical aspects of what it means to love. And let me just read this. This is from Luke 6, 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic, give to everyone who begs. He goes on. Then verse 31, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. So maybe a way of saying, who's my enemy or what is an enemy? It's somebody who's doing to me what I do not wish to be done to me. They've set themselves up in opposition. They're doing something to me that I would not want done to me. It's laced with hatred, cursing, and even abuse. Let's think about some illustrations of this just in the scriptures. Jesus was hated by the religious leaders. They were seeking actively to kill him. That's pretty abusive. That's pretty laden with curse and hatred. The Apostle Paul as well ran into the buzzsaw of Jewish hatred from the leadership in particular who stirred up the crowds. Rid the earth of this man. And he had several trials, was thrown in prison, of course. The Jewish religious establishment was after him. He was also stoned by Gentiles along his journeys, kicked out of cities, people who ran him out of town. And then just was rejected by crowds as he preached. And people wrote him off as ridiculous. We see these things, and of course, most of the apostles themselves, the tradition has it, were put to death. So they had enemies, who is out there, perhaps to do you harm, maybe ruin your reputation, take you down a peg, insult you in some way, make you look bad. In front of your boss or maybe your friendship circle. An enemy may not, it may not be a Hitler type, but it could be in an extreme form. Somebody asked me Sunday, how do you pray for Hitlers of the world? And that's a tough one, but maybe we can come back to that in a moment. But the garden variety enemy that most of us are going to encounter are people who do not like us for whatever reason. They have aught against us. And so what are we to do? Well, Jesus gets very specific here about love, do good, bless, and pray. Love, do good, bless, and pray. And those are some very practical things that we keep in mind. I want to come back to that. But first, I think, if I've got an enemy, does that mean I have to, just stay there as a punching bag and let him or her just walk all over me? And the answer is no. And I mentioned in the sermon, Jesus calling out the injustice against him at his trial, that he was slapped, and that was an illegal thing for a court to do in the, as they were in the findings of trying to build a case. The Apostle Paul did the very same thing. He was about to be beaten. He was in Jerusalem, was captured. They're about to stone him. The Jewish people are about to stone him. A centurion comes and gets him, but is going to then has him in shackles and is about to beat him. And Paul says, "Is it legal to beat a Roman citizen?" So he pulls down the justice card and his legal chip of "I'm a Roman citizen and it is illegal." Number one, to shackle a Roman citizen, and two, to beat a Roman citizen. And the centurion is horrified. Later on, Paul is on a missionary journey and he's in Philippi and he's beaten, thrown in the stocks all night. And then in the morning, the town's leaders say, well, release these men. And Paul and Silas say, oh no, we are Roman citizens. And let them come and speak to us directly. And why did Paul do that? It wasn't because he was trying to rub something in and make them feel bad. Paul had a bigger view of the gospel and the missionary movement. You can't just treat Christians as trash, as rubbish, because there'd be others coming behind Paul, and there's going to be Christians in that town. And how would Christians be treated? Well, Paul hadn't done anything wrong. He was a legal Roman citizen, and he had rights, and there are going to be other Christians just like him. And I think for the sake of the broader Christian community, Paul was making a point: you can't just treat Christians like trash. There's more going on here, and we are people with rights, citizens. I think that's part of what it was, as well as Paul was making a case. As he was going to appear before Caesar eventually, that he hadn't done anything wrong, but wrong had been done to him. And just, you need to see that. We hadn't done anything wrong here, as they themselves testified, but they didn't do their job. So I think Paul's doing a lot of things there, but all that to say, we don't just stand by and, let people abuse us. I mean, we really do call people out. So if somebody's sinning against us, actually the loving thing to do is to point out their sin so that they can repent of it. Not cloak it, conceal it, say it doesn't matter. It does matter before God. And it can be a very loving thing. You don't want it to be a bitter thing in your heart. That goes against what Jesus is talking about, that we love our enemies. But then my enemy would know you are offending God in the way that you treat me. And you're going to answer to God, do you not see that? That can be said without a bitter, resentful heart. I think to get to that point, you've really got to pray and ask for the love of Jesus in you to truly love that person. Of course, Jesus at the cross, as we said, prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the irony of that is it seemed like they knew perfectly well what they were doing. They were putting him to death, and painfully so. The Jewish leaders being jealous and the Roman soldiers being very cruel. So they knew what they were doing, but Jesus says on a very different level, they really don't get it. They're captives to sin. They're blind. They don't see. And so he's from that vantage point able to ask for mercy for them.
I think, Richard, this is something that is worth putting some focus on. Is you were just mentioning that if you have someone who's been sinning against you, and it is the loving thing to do to call that out and point to it, here's what I think is really hard in human experience as a sinful human being. To be in that position where someone has harmed you and hurt you, and then to call out their sin without having at the root of that a desire to punish, to lash out, to harm in retaliation, that's what requires the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's hard.
That is a supernatural work. It's that open face of friendship that Jesus talks about. Turning the other cheek is not, you know, so they can, you know, abuse you again, but it's, no, I will offer you the cheek of friendship.
Yeah.
You slap me, but I'm going to say, I'm here to be a friend. And that is only really a supernatural work of grace. That said, also, it's not wrong to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jesus did this in Nazareth. You know, he preached in the synagogue and offended them by the truth that he spoke. And they ran him up to the hillside, the cliff, and they were going to throw him off. And this is a very mysterious passage, and it says he walked through them and left that region. Jesus didn't let them throw him off a cliff. And so, you know, right there, you know, it's not wrong to protect yourself and to get away from those who would harm you. The Apostle Paul, in speaking to Timothy, and this is in 2 Timothy 4, let me just read this, 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Now, we don't know all that he did, but he brought harm to Paul, probably some physical form of harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. So Paul's telling Timothy, make a wide circle around that man. He is so set against the gospel message. Mm-hmm. I think Paul realized there's a hardness of heart in that man. He is only bent on doing evil and harm, so just stay away. Now, does that mean Paul hated him? I don't read that here. He does commit him to the Lord. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. I think what Paul's saying there is, vengeance is the Lord's, not mine.
Right.
And so I think there's a picture of a heart drained of bitterness and resentment. But also, what do you do? Lord, he's yours. And I give him to you. You're going to have to deal with him. You'll repay him for whatever he's done. And so I take my hands off the reins of revenge, you know, the sick 'em, Lord, pay him back, get him, kind of prayers that we sometimes want to pray. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pray that. He commits them to the Lord. And I think that's a really important thing. You know, and what do we do with the bitterness and anger and resentment, the payback that's in our hearts? Well, I think we kind of gather that up and we give that to Jesus along with the other person. You know, Lord, I want to just take this guy out, and I need to give that to you. And so I bring that with this person, and I commit this person to you. You know, coming back to the Luke passage, instead I'm called to love, do good, bless, and pray. I bless when they curse me, and that simply means, Lord, would you bring goodness into this person's life? Would you treat this person like I would want to be treated if I were in his shoes? Bless his business, bless his family. You know, get practical. You know, bless her work. Bless her as a mom. But the doing good, you know, wow, okay, that's a tough one. In a very funny example of this, years ago, Calvin Thielman, the former senior pastor, I don't know if he was preaching on this passage, but he said, my wife, she's such a saint. When when somebody's had a problem with her or she's had a problem with them, she bakes them a cake and brings it over to them. And Dorothy was sitting next to Portia and said, well, that's the last cake I'll ever have to bake. But
everybody who got a cake from her is thinking, oh, man.
I know. I'm sure that she was also just very loving and blessing people who got a cake from Dorothy years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are some practical ways to do good to people? I mean, there's a lot of practical ways to do harm to people. I mean, go mess with their desk at work, you know, send them nasty notes, gossip about them. You know, some practical ways you can do good, maybe without having to get near them. Maybe you compliment them to somebody. You know, what I really appreciate about that person. I mean, look for something of the image of God in them that is praiseworthy, and point that out to other people. You know, maybe you do send a note. Hey, I'm, you know, praying for you, and if there's any way I can specifically pray, let me know. And you know, maybe they don't want prayer, so maybe that would be really offensive. I don't know. You know, you're trying to evangelize them. You know, so maybe just pray instead. But look for ways. Ask the Lord, would you show me a way and open a way that I can do good to this person? And I think it's important to follow that prayer with a genuineness. Lord, help it to be genuine in me, like your love is for me. In the ultimate sense, Jesus did good to us by dying for us. And while we were enemies, he died. That's pretty amazing. And Lord, in the likeness of that, what would it look like? And it may be that I have to die to my revenge. I have to die to my desire to look good in the eyes of others by putting somebody down. I die to my rights, perhaps, in some fashion, in order to do this person good. That is hard. It is really hard. It goes against everything in our human nature. It might add fallen human nature. Yeah. It certainly is not the way of the world. We live in a, you know, I'll sue you culture. And this is a supernatural work of grace in the heart. And you can't do this apart from the Holy Spirit, bringing Christ, making him real and lovely to our hearts. Mm.
Well, we need prayer for this. This is a hard, hard thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Father in heaven, Lord, you know your people where we are scattered. And some are dealing with people who have become our enemies, perhaps even in our homes or at school or in the neighborhood, at work. And Father, may we not be a people who are easily offended, but Lord, who can easily love because we know the depth of your love for us. Father, teach us wisdom, even as you had Jesus, of knowing when to walk away, when to walk through a crowd, as it were, when, like Paul, to call people on the carpet for injustice, and when to keep a wide berth around somebody who would do us harm. Lord, we don't want to be stupid, and so make us wise, Lord. And show us what it means just practically to love, to do good, to bless, and to pray for those who oppose us, who do us harm, who do what we would not want done to ourselves, but is being done, and we wouldn't want to do to others. But Lord, please give us that kind of wisdom and open those doors. And let us, Lord, be salt and light, even with enemies, that others may see our good works and give you praise, Lord. If they don't like it, eventually, though, they will see that it is from you and that you would be honored, you would be praised for any good that we do, even toward our enemies. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.